Recording. Yes, so we're talking about the future of mass spectrometry, and you were saying about the future.
Well, I was saying that I think it has a future because it provides fundamental information. Fundamental in the sense that it's information of importance in the real understanding of physical and chemical phenomena. It will improve.
Excuse me. Here comes May, and I thought I canceled her, but I guess I didn't call in time. So you have to continue your conversation in the study so she can work in the kitchen and so on? Or you want to stay right there?
Well, I prefer to stay here and let her work around us. I mean, when she comes out, comes around with the vacuum cleaner, then we'll have to stop because that makes so much noise that it would be intrusive. Right. But having her here without the vacuum cleaner is not going to cause any problem.
All right.
So you don't think too much of Graham Cook's idea about a mass spectrometer for every mass, every person?
No, I don't. I don't care how simple you make it, a mass spectrometer is still going to be a very complicated piece of apparatus. And there's a whole group of people who can't even work computers, and a mass spectrometer is a whole lot more complicated than a computer.
But you have to admit Graham is a very creative fellow.
I don't admit it, I proclaim it. When you say admit it, the implication is that I'm opposed to the notion of ab initio. I'm not. I think Graham is a genius.
Yes, lovely fellow. Well,
you know, Brian, he's South African.
Yes.
And Brian is South African, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that South Africa has done a very good job of turning out some important scientists.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Graham's a very interesting fellow, a lot of fun. And I guess he's really responsible for that Purdue program, keeping it going, the analytical chemistry program there, because our major force in it.
Well, I guess I'm not that familiar with it.
Well, Purdue, I don't know if you're familiar, most academic chemistry departments don't have much emphasis on analytical chemistry. It's almost all, synthetic chemistry and all these other forms of chemistry. So there's only a few schools in the country that have a strong emphasis on analytical chemistry, and Graham's presence at Purdue is, I think, it's one of the few schools that has that strong emphasis. It seems as though analytical chemistry is looked upon as a kind of a second rate. A person getting into that, usually they're not likely to get tenure positions or tenure track positions when they go into the academic environment.
Well, I think that's right. I think chemistry used to be a four-legged stool. That is, there was physical chemistry, organic chemistry, inorganic chemistry, and analytical chemistry. That's the way it was when I was in college. Of the four, analytical has always been somewhat inferior to the other three in interest, at any rate. One can argue whether it has been inferior to the other three in importance. Because if you don't know what you have, you don't know what you're doing. Coming back to mass spectrometry again. But it doesn't have the glamour of the other three.
It's kind of like treated as a service.
Yes.
If you do analytical chemistry, you're kind of a service, you have a service function.
It's a service function. And really it is. There is research in analytical chemistry. One can discover a new technique for quantitating a given material
The new technique for ionization?
New technique for ionization. But the main utility of it is the information it gives about the samples that are fed into it. And it's the same way nowadays. We had at Rockefeller an NIH biotechnology research resource.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the requirements was that you did service work.
Mm-hmm.
And we did service work. But you got a lot less credit for the service work you did than for the papers that you published.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And nobody ever got tenure in a major university doing service work.
No. Yes. Well, I don't know if you have any other words of wisdom about mass spectrometry you want to share with us before
I'm not sure I've given you any words of wisdom up till now.
No. I think that...
Well, we hope for the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, actually, there was a couple of things that occurred to me that I kind of missed yesterday, and that is, you didn't tell me your father's name or your mother's name, so I...
Well, my father's name was Field.
Well...
And his name was... full name was Frank Aretas Field, A-R-E-T-A-S. Although there's a family argument about that. but that's... Let's leave it at that. My mother's name was Mary Louise Fleischmann.
Okay.
A good German name. The Fields showed up on this continent in 1629, so they were pretty early on.
Oh my, okay.
And the Fleischmanns came as, I think, mid-19th century immigrants.
So is Field an English...
English, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, there are my parents. They were, my father in the Fields are a Massachusetts family. And somehow or other, my father immigrated down to the New York City area and met my mother. And the Fleischmanns lived in New York City and environs. And they got together and produced me. Sort of peculiar. They were married for 20 years or something on the sort before I came along. And then my father died, and sort of no other offspring.
Now, last night you mentioned that when you were born, your father was how old?
71.
Okay.
And how he was 70, let's see. He was born in 1851, and I was born in 1922, so that's 71.
Wow. And this was after they'd been married for quite a while.
Oh, I have in mind 10, 15 years, something like that.
Interesting. What other bits of information did I forget to pick up yesterday? I think that's probably it. I think we're pretty good, Frank. So it is Frank. It's not Francis or
Frank.
Okay, because sometimes, and I noticed Joe Franklin. He went by the name Joe, not Joseph. Is that correct? Someone. Correct. I mean, I put Joseph Franklin, I think, for something, and someone changed it to Joe Franklin, so...
I don't know, Mike, but I would just go with Joe.
Joe, okay.
It's conceivable that he was Joseph, but he never went by Joseph.
Really? Hmm. Okay.
It was always Joel Franklin.
The ones that get me are those who have chosen, particularly the English, to do this. Their second name, they go like R. Graham Cooks, W. Allen Wolstenholme. So many of the English people I know give up their first name.
Well, maybe they do. You know, suppose His first name was Algernon.
Well,
you give it up.
I guess so. But it's sometimes it's a little messy when you're doing literature searches and you're looking for, you know, somebody, and all of a sudden you discover, well, his real name is his first initial, and then he goes by his second name. Makes the research a lot more complicated.
Well, it does indeed.
Well, I talked to my wife this morning.
Yes.
It's single digits in temperature this morning.
That's cold.
Single digits.
Well, I was interested in the weather pattern yesterday, where the wind, there was this warm southerly wind.
Yes.
And I suspect that that's a reaction against the cold front coming in. You know, the cold front comes in here, and there's a counter.
Yeah, brings it up around from the south. Yeah, you get these.
And brings up the warm southwestern.
Yeah,
the cold snap is going to hit here sort of toward the weekend.
Yeah, so I guess the highs go one way and the lows go the other way in their
I never have
wind circulation.
That way.